Psalms 90, verse 13, through Psalms 92, verse 5. Return, O Yahweh, how long? O be sorry for your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your loving commitment, and let us sing for joy all our days. Give us joy according to the days you have afflicted us, the years we have seen evil. Reveal your work to your servants.
Welcome to His Word Heals. You can also visit us online at www.hiswordheals.com for all of our past programs, healing scripture CD, books, and more. Today's program is going to be just a collection of thoughts that I've been having lately in my studies. And while I am going to cite some scriptures, it's not going to be as heavy on scripture as it usually is. It's going to be thoughts regarding scripture. Thoughts regarding there being three brides. There is a dead bride, the living bride, and the harlot or divorced bride. And these brides are analogous, of course, of believers and unbelievers, Jews and Gentiles, as well as we could look at the metaphor of the branches. There are broken off branches, living branches as part of the tree of Israel, as well as wild branches of the nations or pagans or harlots or divorced bride. And we're going to go from there and discuss honoring his laws in vain or in spirit and in truth. So stick with me, and we're going to tie all of this together and just try to come to a deeper, more complete understanding of who we are in Yeshua Messiah and what our purpose or our job is. What is our responsibility to our Messiah once we become part of his tree, part of his bride, once we are resurrected with him to eternal life, to newness of life? So that's what we're going to talk about today. That said, I want to start by reading an email that I got from a listener that was very interesting and fit in with what I was studying. So I'll just read the pertinent part of the email that they sent. They said, when Israel crossed the Red Sea, many times the church leads people right back into Egypt through the bondage of idolatry, Christ, Easter, etc., for example. But the next place Israel traveled was Marah, where the water was bitter to drink. Yahuwah or Yahweh said, throw a branch in the water so it became sweet to drink from. We know Moses had a staff and Aaron also. The staff represents authority to the believers. So basically the staff or authority was mixed with water, the teachings of Messiah, so we can actually nourish our spirits. I think this might be where we are as Hebrew roots, or whatever you want to call it, they say. The way Yeshua is taught in churches many times isn't tolerable and it doesn't feed our spirit. However, when we mix in the authority of Moses and what he taught, then we can find nourishment in Christ or Messiah. So this interesting concept got me looking closer into the Hebrew behind the scriptures with regard to the bitter waters at Marah. And this is the email that I sent back to this person after studying up on the Hebrew behind the branch or stick or rod or whatever was thrown into the water. It said, very interesting concept. Thank you for sharing it. I was quickly looking into the Hebrew behind the scriptures you cited and found something else to consider. The Hebrew word for branch in your translation is actually wood, or specifically tree, and is translated elsewhere as stick also. Most interestingly, in Ezekiel 37, consider Yeshua is the branch and was hung on a tree, and then also Romans 11 describes Israel as the cultivated olive tree, while those in the nations are called a wild olive tree. Jews were natural branches, and Gentiles, those no longer having an Israelite identity, as well as the Gentiles they were living amongst once they were scattered, are branches from the wild olive tree. Waters or seas are metaphorically in Scripture peoples. Yeshua the branch was hung on the tree, being cast out into the sea or bitter, sinful waters of the peoples of the world to take away bitterness of sin, while also joining the two trees, translated as sticks in Ezekiel, but should be translated as trees because it's the same word as trees. It's also the same word that is in the scripture of Marah with the branch being cast into the bitter waters. And we know Romans 11 says there are two olive trees, the natural olive tree, the tree of Israel with the root that goes all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the wild olive tree, which were those from the nations. So I believe that Paul was referring to the two trees or the two sticks, but actually trees, in Ezekiel 37 that are joined together in Yeshua Messiah. There are natural branches that are unbelieving branches that are cut off of the tree of Israel, and then there are wild branches from the pagan nations that are grafted into the tree of Israel. Compare that to the trees of Ezekiel, Judah and Joseph, Israel and Ephraim. They are combined into one tree, as in Romans 11. The two sticks or trees of Ezekiel 37 became one in Yeshua Messiah. This all fits in with what I had been studying about three women or three brides. Just as there are three types of branches from the two trees of Romans 11, the broken off branches again, the branches of the tree of Israel, and the wild branches, there are three types of women: the dead Israel bride from Mount Sinai, the living, resurrected, redeemed, believing Israel bride, resurrected with Yeshua, and the harlot or pagan bride, the divorced bride of Israel, mixed with the nations and the paganness of the nations. This would be the harlot pagan bride. Now, why do I call the dead bride the bride from Mount Sinai? Well, we also did a program not too long ago called The Embalmed Corpse of Israel, where we show from Scripture that, as we know, Yahweh presented the nation of Israel with a ketubah at Mount Sinai, which they accepted the terms of. However, we also know that Jacob was renamed Israel, and so we can see a picture of Israel in the life and death of Jacob. Jacob being the fleshly Israel, and Israel being the spiritual Israel. And we see that Scripture says Israel must die. And I point all of this out in that program called The Embalmed Corpse of Israel. When Israel, or Jacob, died in Egypt, he was embalmed. His body was embalmed. And then Joseph took that embalmed body back to the land, back to the land of Canaan, the land of Israel. And this is all a picture of the end time Joseph nations taking the embalmed dead body of Israel back to the land of Israel. The old nation of Israel actually died with Yeshua when Yeshua died on the cross 2,000 years ago. That old bride had to die with Yeshua in order to be resurrected again with Yeshua, released from the previous marriage covenant that the bride had violated. We know that a marriage covenant can only be broken through death, and so both the bride and the groom died at the cross 2,000 years ago. Then it took 40 years for the embalming of the body of dead Israel to take place, and then the temple was destroyed 40 years after the death, burial, and resurrection of Yeshua Messiah. And in Egypt, we saw that the embalming of the body of Israel or Jacob took 40 days before they carried the body back to the land. So anyway, I can't go into all of that here for time purposes, but to understand this better, please go to our website, www.hiswordheals.com, click on our blog page, and then listen to the program from a couple weeks ago called The Embalmed Corpse of Israel. So that is where I get the dead Israel bride from Mount Sinai. Then the second one is the living or resurrected, redeemed, believing Israel bride, resurrected with Yeshua. And then again, the harlot pagan bride, divorced Israel, mixed with the nations. And that's the equivalent of the broken off branches, the branches of the living tree of Israel, and the wild branches that need to be grafted in. This brings me to the portion of our discussion today that I want to call honoring his laws in vain, or worshiping him in spirit and in truth. The dead Israel bride, that was the bride from Mount Sinai, failed in being able to keep all of the Torah, to keep it all correctly. It's impossible. The purpose, I believe, was to show us that we cannot be righteous in and of ourselves. The chosen people could not be righteous. We can do the best that we can, and there were righteous Israelites that strove to be righteous and to honor all of his commandments, But there always was, always has been, and always will have to be forgiveness and mercy from our Creator and King, Yahweh, and His Son, Yeshua Messiah. The Torah can never save us and never make us perfect. As we are told in Scripture, especially in the New Testament, all that the Torah can do is to condemn. It teaches and it condemns. It teaches us how to love one another and how to love Yahweh, and then condemns us because we all fall short of this perfection. In showing us how to live and then condemning us for not doing it perfectly, the Torah also shows us our need for a sacrifice, for the forgiveness of sins as a rededication of the covenant between us and our Creator. The terms of Torah demand death, or a casting out or cutting off from the assembly, or divorce from the bride for sins, and especially for spiritual fornication, for falling into idolatry, for falling into paganism. The first bride of Israel fell into paganism, the paganism that was rampant in the nations, and as we know, the second bride has also been dragged back down into paganism. Thankfully, for all mankind, our Creator is very merciful. While He is very righteous and demands perfection, He understands that we are not able to be perfect in our current condition, and so He has provided a lamb, a sacrifice for us, that dies in our place so that we can be reborn and resurrected to newness of life, to the living bride, into the one tree of true spiritual Israel. The Levitical sin sacrifices were intended to show Israel the seriousness of sins, the seriousness of breaking our Abba's laws, the seriousness of being unclean. In the sin sacrifices, the death of the perfect, prized animal took the place of the death of the person who sinned or was unclean, but only until the next time the person sinned or became unclean. Then they would need to bring another perfect, sinless animal to again die in their place, to take the punishment required by the law, by the Torah, for that person's sin or uncleanness. A never-ending cycle of sin and death, sin of the person, death of the animal. The point of the death of the animal was not because Yahweh enjoyed seeing animals slaughtered. As a matter of fact, He says, "I desired mercy and not sacrifice," in Hosea 6:6, Matthew 9:13, and 12:7. Let's also read Psalms chapter 51. "According to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned, and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak, and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O Elohim, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, your Yeshua, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O Elohim, the Elohim of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Yahweh, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of Elohim are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O Elohim, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem, then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar." So we can see here, even David recognized, I guess especially David, recognized the mercifulness and the forgiveness offered by Yahweh, and that is manifested in Yeshua, our salvation, in His Son. So we can see here in the other scriptures that the Levitical sin sacrifices were not a perfect sacrifice. They could not take away sins forever, as we're told in many places in the New Testament, and especially by Paul. He is speaking of the Levitical sin sacrifices that had to be replaced by a perfect sacrifice, the sacrifice that Yahweh Himself provided. He provided Himself a lamb, Yeshua Messiah, Yahweh made flesh, His Word made flesh, died in our place. He died so that the old bride, the dead bride, the embalmed corpse of Israel, could be grafted back into the living tree of Israel that is resurrected with Yeshua, our Messiah. Old Israel died at the cross and was resurrected into the new living tree, into the living tree whose root goes all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the resurrected, redeemed bride. And then along with old Israel, those that had been cast out into the nations and lost their Jewish or Israelite identity and became pagan, along with the pagans they lived amongst, the wild olive tree could also be resurrected, grafted into the living tree of Israel and resurrected with Yeshua Messiah through His forgiveness, His provision of a lamb, His provision of an eternal sin sacrifice. That is the only way either Jew or Gentile can have eternal life, and that's through Yeshua Messiah. All must be born again, resurrected, because all died at the cross. All died spiritually first in the Garden of Eden, but then the first bride also died at the cross, but had the promise to be resurrected with Yeshua Messiah in newness of life and in a new marriage covenant. Consider, will it do any good for a dead bride to honor Torah? I wonder, the folks that are in Hebrew roots, and there are some who have left Yeshua Messiah and been converted to Judaism. Why would someone want to convert to Judaism, which is actually part of dead Israel, the dead bride? You can do all the Torah in the world, but doing Torah is not going to save you. It's throughout Scripture. We are told there's not one perfect, no, not one. We are to try and keep all the rules of our Abba's house, but it is impossible for us to have never and to never in the future mess up, become unclean, or sin. So Torah, again, does not save us. We need to be part of the resurrected bride, forgiven and redeemed and resurrected with Yeshua our Messiah, resurrected spiritually to eternal life, to be part of the living tree of Israel. We don't want to join the dead Jewish tree, the dead bride, by converting to Judaism and rejecting our Messiah. Please again, go back and listen to our program, The Embalmed Corpse of Israel, for more information on that. It's on our blog page at www.hiswordheals.com. So again, the point of sacrificing the sin offerings of animals was for us to see the seriousness of breaking His rules, to see just how much our Creator hates sin. But think about it. What about before the sin offerings were instituted after the sin of the golden calf with the Levites in the wilderness? Did Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob perform sin offerings? No, they did offer animal sacrifices, but they were not offered for sins. I didn't see anywhere in Scripture where Jacob offered a sin sacrifice. They were gifts or peace offerings and thank offerings, recognizing that everything that they were blessed with came from Yahweh, and so they wanted to give the best of what they had back to Him as a gift. The idea of sin offering, which is represented by Strong's H2403, which is actually the word for sin, but it is used in Scriptures in relationship to an offering to represent a sin offering. And that doesn't appear until Exodus 29:14. As a matter of fact, Pharaoh admitted sin against Yahweh and asked for forgiveness through Moses, who was a picture of Yeshua. And Yahweh granted him forgiveness, no sacrifice needed, in Exodus 10:16-19, when he relented and took away the plague of the locusts, after Moses went to Yahweh on behalf of Pharaoh. Then, of course, Yahweh hardened Pharaoh's heart. He strengthened him to do what Pharaoh truly wanted to do, which was keep the Israelites and not submit to the will of Yahweh. Pharaoh's repentance was very short-lived. It was not a true, long-lasting repentance, and he and Egypt paid the consequences. Strong's H2403, which is sin, only appears 5 times in Scripture before the sin offering in Exodus 29:14. And then again in 29:36 in reference to cleansing the altar in the wilderness. Both Exodus 29:14 and 36 have to do with cleansing the altar in the wilderness for 7 days, as well as providing atonement before the institution of the actual offerings in the tabernacle in the wilderness. Then Exodus 30 verse 10 is the yearly atonement or sin offering in relation to Yom Kippur. The sin offerings that were offered throughout the year were on behalf of individuals and could be on behalf of corporate sins in certain instances, but then on the Day of Atonement or Yom Kippur, that sin offering was a corporate sin offering for all Israel, for the sins of all Israel. But again, all of these sin offerings were imperfect in that they had to be offered over and over, time and again, sin after sin and year after year. Plus, sin offerings had to be offered for the Levitical priests before they could offer the sin offerings for the individuals or the nations. Yeshua replaced these sin offerings with the perfect sin offering of himself, the perfect lamb, in our place once and for all. And the sin offerings were not instituted until after the golden calf. The instructions were given to Moses the first time he went up, but then he came down, as we know, and found them dancing around the golden calf. However, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did not have something called a sin offering. They were always forgiven through the mercy and forgiveness of Yahweh, while looking forward and knowing that Yahweh himself would provide the lamb for their atonement, for their forgiveness, and for the forgiveness of all mankind. The animal sacrifices were just a picture for us to realize the seriousness of our sin and to realize our need for the perfect salvation provided only by Yahweh and his Son. So in closing, all mankind needs to come to the realization, Jew or Gentile, cut off natural branches or wild olive branches, all need to be grafted in, reborn, resurrected into the tree of Israel with Yeshua Messiah as our Redeemer, our perfect salvation, our perfect lamb sacrifice. There is only one tree, one kingdom, one Savior, one Elohim, one body, one eternal bride, one eternal people. And it is our job as the redeemed bride of Israel, the redeemed people of Israel, the redeemed children of Israel, to spread this message far and wide to all the nations, to every creature under heaven, to the four corners of the earth. Yeshua alone is our salvation. The Torah is for our instruction on how to love one another and how to love Yahweh. But the Torah also condemns us when we fall short. Whereas Yeshua, our Messiah, he has redeemed us. He has taken the punishment that we deserve upon himself and died in our place. And we are to die with him, metaphorically, to be raised with him spiritually and eternally. Yahweh's rules, his laws, his instructions teach us, but they don't save us. Yeshua saves us. Yahweh saves us with his salvation. Blessings and shalom to all of you and everyone in your home. Baruch haba b'shem Yahweh. Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh.
The sounding chords of the lyre. For you have made me rejoice with your work, O Yahweh. I shout for joy at the works of your hands. O Yahweh, how great are your works!